We bring greetings this morning in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and our risen Savior. I want to thank our brother for that devotions this morning. I think he laid the groundwork very well for the message. Where he left off is where I would like to start. This is not my text, but if you turn to Revelation chapter 10, I'd like to read a couple verses there. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 through 6. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as the pillar of fire. He had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea, his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders have uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lift up his hand to the heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that were therein, the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that which are therein, that there should be time no longer. The title is Preparation for Coming Judgment. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. I'd like to read a couple verses there as a text. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which are written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which are in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I don't know what you think. I don't know what you think when you hear or read these verses. Does fear, this purpose, Jonas, you want to go out or somebody go out and help? I'm not sure what's happening back there. This message is not necessarily to... How can I say this? To undermine our peace in God. That's not what it's for. But it is to remind us that someday we will stand before Almighty God. Sorry. the end of time. We will stand before God. And give account of our life here. The choices we've made, the attitudes we've had towards ourselves, towards others, towards the people of God, towards the unrighteous. The things we have done, the things we have looked at, the things we've harbored in our heart, the things that were precious to us, the things that claimed our very attention in our heart, the things we said, the things we text, the things we email, all these things are going to be there. And there's no surprises going to be there as far as surprising that God will be surprised. Neither will there be anything hidden there. You know, in this life, there's many, many, many people that get summons to appear before a court, in court before a judge or judges. And it's very real what judgment is. Their crime or their what they have done is laid out, and depending on how the judge reads the law, the people are either acquitted or found guilty. There are people that have never received a summons, a court summons in their life, in this life. But I'm here to tell you this morning, and to tell all of us, that we all have a summons to appear before the court or before judgment of God. We all will be there to receive, like Galatians says, to receive the things done in our body, whether they be good or evil. There is a day of reckoning coming for all of us, for all humanity that ever lived or will live on earth. Now, I want to be very clear that I do recognize that there are those that are innocent and not responsible because they are God's special children or because they die when they're young. They're too young to understand. That's not the ones I'm talking about. I'm talking about people like us adults and people that have received understanding. We can think and we know, we can read and we can read the word. Those are the people, we are the people that are going to be appearing before God. To receive the things done in our life, whether they be good or bad. I'd like to look at some scriptures this morning that describe those that scene or what happens at that judgment time. But I want to close with the thought of we have an advocate. We have Jesus Christ that has paid the price. We have Jesus Christ that is able to present us faultless before an almighty God. I want to close with that. Hebrews 4, verses 12 through 13 tells us that there will be nothing hidden within the eyes of with whom we have to do. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." I wasn't going to, but let's read the last three verses there. That were just, again, reminds us of Jesus Christ's work. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The thought I'd like to, at judgment day, at judgment time, there is nothing that will be hidden or come as a surprise to God. And friends, we will be judged by the word of God. We won't have any surprises either. I don't think so. If we are Bible reading, and we all profess to be Bible readers, what is written in the word of God will be there. All things are naked and open before God. That's where we're going to be. Another thought is judgment will be presided over by the Godhead. I don't know all the procedures, the exact procedures of this judgment. The verses were just read this morning, and I don't know where it was, that it almost sounded like the whole world, maybe I just better let that. I have this mental image that we come before God and we're individuals coming up before God. We're coming up before God, and finally we stand before God as individuals. There was some verses read this morning that we could almost give us the thought that the whole group of Christians I know where it was. Matthew chapter 25. Well, we'll read that later. But we come before God, and God in Christ will be there presiding over judgment. Look at Revelation chapter 20, the verses we had just read as text. It says that, "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." The other thought, there's a thought there that there are people that will want to run away. They want to run wherever they can. They want to hide. They want to get away. They don't want to face God. They don't want to face Jesus Christ because their life is evil. But there's no place that they can go to. There is no place that they can go. Read Psalm 139, and it tells us that they can go to the deepest part of the ocean or to outer space. God is still there. We cannot run. We cannot hide. But I saw the small and great, the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open. God in Christ will be there. The Holy Spirit will be there. You know, sometimes I get the thought that maybe God is going to be sitting on his throne, and like we do sometimes when somebody comes up to, or as we come up to the throne, as we come up to our place of judgment, that Jesus Christ comes down and stands with us. I don't know. But I do know that his life, his death, his suffering, his blood, his resurrection is my salvation. And we can be confident that if we are his children, he will come down and minister or give us judgment that is according to his will at that time. Another thing, judgment is sure. Revelation 9, verse 27 says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die after this judgment." You know, there are people that would like to make themselves believe that they can die and that's the end. That's what they want to believe. That's what they try to make themselves believe. That when they die, they just go to nothing. But the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. And again, I don't know the time frame. That's not the subject. The time frame between death and judgment. But we do know that between death or after death, there will be judgment. And judgment is going to be according to the scriptures, as was said, and according to our deeds. There will be no secrets there. We'll not be able to hide anything from him. You know, again, what we did is going to be open. The attitudes expressed and harbored in the most secret recesses of our heart will be there. Our choices and just our life will just be opened. Pride, prejudice, thoughts and actions of immorality, disobedience to parents, these will all be there. Remember, there's not going to be any surprises for God, but there's also not going to be a new law given to us at that time that said you needed to do this and this to be saved that's not written in the scriptures. Like, keep in mind, this right here is what we need. Is that true? This is the will of God. There's not going to be some hidden commandment pulled out of the archives of God's archives and that's not mentioned in here and said, you're lost because you didn't know this. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14. Would someone read that? And then 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Okay, Ecclesiastes 12, 14. Anyone? Thank you. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Thank you. Okay, let's have Ecclesiastes 12, 14. Okay, in 2 Corinthians 5.
Whether it be good
God is going to be fair. It's going to be our choice whether we accept the Word of God and the blood of Christ, or whether we reject it. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. This is Jesus' words. And it's an account of judgment, giving us kind of a glimpse into what is going to happen. Verse 31, Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And here's where the thought that I was thinking, I read somewhere where it could almost sound like all the Christians are going to be judged at one time. And again, I don't know how that's all going to be. We do know that every individual will come before God, and he will be judged according to his deeds. It's very clear. So it may be that as judgment happens, that the sheep go, what's it say, on the right? Sheep go over here, be over here. Yeah, it depends which way we look here. But on my right, it'd be over here, and then the goats would be over here. And there's a separation. Now, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, to the sheep, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now notice what happens here. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was stranger, and you took me in. Naked, you clothed me, and I was sick. You visited me, I was in prison, you came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When did these things happen? When saw we thee stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? You weren't necessarily here on earth that we could minister to you. And God said, Jesus said, the Son of Man said, the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. I get a picture here of people having their eyes so on Jesus that as they served Christ, they were serving him on earth. But they were serving Christ, and yet they were serving people at the same time, and didn't realize that they were serving Christ by serving people. Where do we find ourselves this morning? Is it hard to serve people this morning? Or do we need to be served? Okay, let's read. That the goats then, to them he said on the left, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, did not minister unto thee? And then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The goats here almost sounds like they were accusing Jesus, or the Son of Man, that they never saw him on this earth, they couldn't minister to him. They were so full of self-life that they were so busy serving self, they never served other people. And there they missed the very foundation of their service to God, is because they were looking for Jesus physically, and he wasn't here, so they couldn't minister to him. And Jesus said, you did not minister to the people around you. Therefore, you did not minister to me. Again, I like to ask the question, where do we find ourselves this morning? Do we serve, or do we need to be served? Are we humble enough to serve others, to put ourselves, as it were, below our fellow man? Or do we esteem ourselves so high that we cannot even, you know, we may damage our reputation by helping this man? How do we find ourselves this morning? Remember, if we want to serve God, if we want to serve Jesus Christ here on earth, he is not here physically, but he is here. We serve him through people, serving people. John chapter 5. Verse 26. This is Jesus speaking again. That judgment, again, this thought of judgment will be according to the word of God, and judgment will be fair. Verse 26 of John chapter 5. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Life is in the Son. But we are still going to be judged by what we do and how we speak. I think in Matthew, I think it tells us that, I haven't read it in a long time, but we shall be, by thy words thou shalt be justified, is that right? And by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So what we say is very important too. Now, this coming judgment does not need to strike fear into our heart. And here is where the joy of preaching Jesus comes in. Up to this point, you know, we are facing a sure judgment. We are facing a judgment. I think somewhere in Scripture it tells us that we are facing an angry God. But now, through Christ Jesus, through his work on the cross, we can receive him. We can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Repent, therefore, and be saved. So we repent, we believe, we confess, and we allow Jesus Christ to take our sins to judgment beforehand. We make prior arrangements with God. We repent of our sins. That's what it means. We are repenting of our sins, and we are making arrangements with God. We're settling our account with God through Jesus Christ before we die. That way, when we get to judgment, all is taken care of. And that's the work of Christ in our life. Second, 1 Timothy 5, verse 24 says, some men's sins are open beforehand. Some men confess their sins, they make their sins right, they repent of their sins, they are forgiven their sins. That is, they are open beforehand, before they die, going before to judgment, it says. And some men they follow after. Which one are we this morning? Are we giving our sins? Are we making arrangements beforehand? Or are we kind of harboring, we just hold them into our hand. We live a defeated life. We live a life that is completely secretive. And we refuse to confess because we're so ashamed. My friend, what are we going to do in judgment at that time? If we have that attitude here, it's going to be far worse to approach a holy God with sin in our life than it is to just open it up here. First John 1, beautiful verses. Verse 5. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7 is such a beautiful verse. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9 is another beautiful verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, he's making the comparison here. He's saying, if we do this, we have fellowship with God, we have peace with God, we can walk in the light as he is in the light. But if we refuse, then we're still walking in darkness. Warning us to repent and get away from sin and to come unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The life, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Friends, that is a promise of God that will forever stand right into eternity. May we grasp hold of that promise that Jesus is all I cling to. We also don't have to fear the judgment because we have an advocate or one who intercedes for us with the Father. And again, in my mind, he's standing between God and me. If I'm coming up there, Jesus Christ is between me and God. And he's there interceding. He's there saying, Lord, I died for this man. He spans that gap between God and man. That's the work of an advocate, the one who intercedes for us, the one who has died for us, the one who has given us life and life eternal, life more abundantly. I have quite a few verses here that I would like to read just simply because I like to let the Word of God speak for itself. John 12, verse 44 through 50. This is Jesus' words. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him who sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. So he's saying that we are not necessarily just believing in Jesus, but we're also believing in God. We are believing, when we believe in Jesus, we believe in God. And when we see Jesus, we see God. I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. And that's where, you know, when we don't believe the provision that God has given us, when we don't believe in Jesus Christ, he is not there to, he's not going to be between us and God. We're going to stand naked and open before God without any advocate, without any, no, we're just, it's almost too horrible to imagine. But when we have Christ, he is there. He died to save us. We don't have to face judgment without Christ. Verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him, and the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. Remember, the word of God will judge us. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He hath given me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Keep that in mind. His commandment is life everlasting. The word of God, if we believe it, is life everlasting to us. We can safely trust in the word of God, building our life on the principles of the scripture, believing that what God has said here is what he will say there. I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Ephesians 2. Verse 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The answer of taking away our fear as we approach death, as we approach the judgment, is right here. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding, exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I urge us to make a conscious choice of following Christ Jesus to the absolute end of our life. The blessing of approaching judgment with Jesus is beyond description. The horribleness of approaching judgment without Christ is also beyond description. God has done everything that needs to be done for our salvation. 1 John 2, verse 1 through 6, again is speaking of the work of Christ. And may these words just grab a hold of us and sink deep into our hearts, and may we make them ours by simply believing them. That's all we have to do, is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him. Verse 1 of chapter 2, 1 John. My little children, these things I write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation of our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation, I did not look that up. Does anyone have a good definition of that word, propitiation? Okay, thank you. So Jesus Christ turns away the wrath of God because he offered himself for our sins. How beautiful! Jesus Christ is that offering. Jesus Christ turned away the wrath of God. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now here's a kind of a little test to show us that this is not just a lip profession, but it's a heart experience when we actively obey Jesus Christ. You know, there's people that can say, oh, I love the Lord, and they live according as they absolutely want to. There is no discipleship, but they say, we love the Lord. We walk in his commandments. How do they know? How do you know if you're walking in God's commandments or that you love God? Anyone? How do you know? How do you know that your children love you? Anyone? I'm sorry?
They obey you.
Very simple. If we keep his commandments, we know him. Scripture. He that saith, I know him, and keep not his commandments, is a what? Liar. The truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself. Now here's another test. If we say that we abide in Christ, then we ought to walk as Christ walked. Very simple. A life of obedience. Titus chapter 2. Verse 11 through 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify him unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The work of Christ. Again, the work of Christ is that he gave himself for us, but the bottom line is he doesn't necessarily want a person that is cleansed in his words only. He wants a person that is cleansed in his heart. In his life, how does it say? To redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a godly people. Or a peculiar people, a godly people. Zealous. Zealous is just simply energetic towards doing good things. Okay, First John, back to First John. First John is so full of just practical truths of the work of Christ in our life and how we can stand upon those truths. Verse 11, 1 John 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. I don't know how I can improve upon that one. The life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Very clear, very distinct. Now, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you know this morning whether you have eternal life? Can you trust the Scriptures? Can you trust the Holy Spirit? Can you trust Jesus? Can you trust God himself to just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Accept him into your heart and live a life of holiness unto him. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, that ye may know. We can know whether we have eternal life. We don't have to wonder and come up to the very grave and say, Lord, I really wonder if you love me. No, we don't have to wonder that. It is here. God does. He said, I love you. I have done everything I want that I can do for you so that you can experience eternal life. The choice is ours. Do we believe and obey him? Or do we disregard his word? Thinking that we have a better or an easier way to receive eternal life. Again, the choice is ours. We can either accept his provisions of life or we can squander away eternal life by choosing the way of death. I'd like to read in closing, I'd like to read 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, if I can find 2 Peter, verses 8 through 18. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? The call to holiness and godliness is right here. Looking for and hasting, we actively look and we want to just, you know, we want to go towards the coming of the day of God. We are looking for, it's not going to necessarily take us by surprise. It may, you know, we may not, it may come upon us when we're not actively looking into the sky. You understand what I mean? But we are thinking about it. We're thinking today could be the day that Christ comes again. We are consciously thinking that maybe it is today, maybe. And we, in our mind, we keep that focus in our heart. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven, a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for these things, such things, be diligent. Put forth effort. Make your calling and election sure. Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. How do we do that? Through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus does it for us by believing. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things beforehand, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and ever. Amen. Let's kneel before the Lord.